Thank you, Kenny, and thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm on item 8 on the agenda. We have nothing under it, but economic development. Deputy Mayor Norman, do you have anything to report?
Just two quick things. Reminder to anyone who's a Main Street business operator on our Main Street tonight, Paul McKinnon from the Halifax Downtown Business Association is coming to the a meeting room in the town hall to discuss Main Street initiatives, and that's primarily directed toward business people in Liverpool. So I'm looking, and I hope to see Hoagie there tonight and Oscar and business people, but it is directed toward the business community and not for the public at large. And also negotiations are continuing with the with their airport friends, that there's been some communication from us to them, and we'll keep you further updated as that file moves along.
Thank you. Is there anything else to say?
Oh, and one other thing, we're sad to say goodbye to Country Kitchen, which is
closing. Yes, I didn't mean to say goodbye until the end of March.
But we will be saying goodbye.
It's bad news, certainly. Any other points that anyone would like to raise on the economic development? Not moving ahead to corporate services. The chair has left the room. Engineering and Works, do you have anything?
They're working on the trusted trail, and they just applied approval from DOT to work around there right away under the 103 structure. So that should be completed this spring. And then we have the normal works going on.
The work that's been done up to this point has been in fine grade, and I noticed that they stopped, you know, obviously is the line for the 103,
yeah.
And now they can continue.
Now they can.
But they're starting from the Pine Grove side, they make good progress.
So it should be done by tomorrow.
And that money, for a reminder, is coming from the money that we received to support the Pine Grove Park. We'll not be on the tax rate. Yes, Councilor Fancy.
Milton Bridge, too. I think that's going to be spring. Everything stopped now until spring.
It's pretty impressive to live in what Dan McLaren described as the town of Milton, which has three bridges at the moment. Any other matters under economic development or under engineering and works, I'm sorry? That we have taken finance off the agenda till next meeting. That brings us to item 12, an update on the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center programming.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Pleased to present our schedule at the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center for the next several months. This winter, schedule includes ukulele group who meet on every second Monday in the middle or gallery room. We have life drawing classes each and every Thursday, and we have meetings of provincial municipal administrators, Queen's Refugee Care Team, and the Queen's Arts Council, all scheduled in January and February. 1st of February, we have a group from Social Opportunities presenting their Overcoming the Experience Barrier program, which is a combination of classroom talks around seeking a job, but also a work experience for the participants. And we're doing that upstairs in my old office. On the 17th of February, our first formal presentation takes place with Linda Rayfuse, Tim McDonald, Arlene Butler from the Black Heritage Society. We'll all present on that facility and its connection to Queens, of course, as February is Black History Month. Vibe Talks, which Dan McLaren mentioned, and that graphic there is Vibe Talk, start, that's next Wednesday, the 3rd of February. And we have a midwinter yarn party on the 21st of February, and that's being organized by Andrea Thomas, who has the new yarn and knitting shop in Mercy Point, I think.
Sheep to shore.
Correct. We will also be having, starting the 6th of February, we'll be having musical jams in the lobby with local performers, continuing every second week, and many of these performers have actually agreed to perform at no charge to support the evolution of the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center. In spring, we have lots of stuff. March the 9th, Horace McPherson and Doug Lonish speaking on the Medway River, its past and future. Tim is back, 23rd of March, to present on the history of the Town Hall itself. Tim's one of our favorite victims, back to do a presentation on the Liverpool town site. And staff of the Queens County Museum will be speaking on blacksmithing in Queens, and both of those in April. We've got tentatively an arrangement with the Nova Scotia Association of Geocachers to speak on that activity. And it's a little bit out there, celestially, I guess, but we've been talking about doing something to coincide with Star Wars Day, which is May the 4th, as in May the 4th be with you.
What day of the month, of the week is it normally?
I think that's a Wednesday, Councillor Inglis, but we've talked everything from, and I didn't come up with that, Mr. Mayor, in case you're wondering. I'm not that clever. I wish I was. But the May the 4th is talking about display of memorabilia, potentially doing the original Star Wars movie, and of course with the new Star Wars movie being so popular now, it's a neat, potentially, a thing to do. South Shore Birders on the 8th of June.
Excuse me, interrupting. I assume Councillor Inglis had something to do with that. Anybody who can watch Star Wars movies on New Year's night, New Year's Eve, right through till 2:30 in the morning must be involved in a program
well,
like that.
He hasn't, but we'll get him involved somehow. The Birders, Tim's back on the 25th and 26th to do a historic Liverpool photo exhibit. And we have been talking about staff of the Cebu, with staff of the Cebu Gallery, about a presentation on Aboriginal history in Queens. As of course, June is National Aboriginal History Month, and it would be just about a year from when we reopened the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center. And since Councillor Frelick has been integral to this generation of this whole schedule, he's been like the Energizer Bunny without the drum, talking to groups and more ideas and looking at schedules and suggesting folks, and he's done a fantastic job in getting that done, and we're following it up, of course, to pin down the arrangements, and he's very excited, as I am, about all the activities upcoming. There are shows and displays coming up, a display by the Rug Hookers Group, tentatively from the 4th to the 8th of April. The Arts Council is going to have a show. I'm not 100% sure what they're showing yet, but coincidentally with LITF and well-known artist Andre Haynes. Many of you will remember Andre from Les Mis. He was this maniac on the piano and led the orchestra for Les Mis, and he's coming down to actually paint the town, do his own artwork, and then display that at the town hall thereafter. And that work to the left is his original painting, The Windmill, and he's a really cool guy. Additionally, into the summer, talking about art on the lawn in partnership with the summer student of Cebu Gal, the Arts Council and Privateer Days, and local artist Matthew Collins, potentially, will do a display of some of his work. What does the future hold? Well, we're only limited by our imagination. If you ask me, be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Mayor.
I'm always excited when Norm steps up to the screen. He always does such a good job as presentation. Councilor Frelick.
I just want to expand a little bit on the music that we're talking about. The purpose of that is to connect people, and Oscar, who's in the room, has done a great job connecting newcomers to the town, and they meet every Friday. So this is in not to copy what he's doing, but to add to it. So to give people a couple places, a couple options, and it's all to lead people to events that are happening. So we talked to Lanes; they're interested in co-hosting the first one. We have musicians that are willing to step up and do this. So it's all about introducing people to the town hall, but yet pushing them out towards the other events in town. So that's kind of exciting.
Councillor McLeod.
Any activities at the Liverpool Town Hall Cultural Center certainly brings people to the downtown core. And I think that's so important to have, and these are wonderful, very impressive lineup of events happening, activities happening there. And it's really good to see that, and hopefully more people will come and participate and be the audience and also come downtown more often.
Councilor Inglis, Councilor
Yeah, thanks, Norm, for your part and set as many of those things as you set up, and I hate to give thanks to Councillor Perella, but certainly he's played a big part with his energy in getting that stuff up and going, so he really deserves it too. But you know, when we spent all this money on that, we had two things in mind. One was, you know, it's a fabulous building, so it should breathe life. And as Councillor McLeod pointed out, we wanted to have activity downtown again. And I think sometimes we get caught up in the ideas of big things, mm-hmm. but things don't have to be big to bring people. You know, that you've got, you know, a great lineup of stuff there. You know, by example, I'm interested in some of them, not interested in others. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's perfect because it tells you you're capturing different segments of the population. And I'm really excited to see us get moving because there's, you know, the build-up when you get something like that done, and there's the letdown because it doesn't immediately fill itself. I think these are the right kind of steps that we're taking, you know, not only here, but we'll see the same thing in the Queen's Place discussion. So thank you for your good work.
You're
welcome.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of how we connect dots with other organizations and lure them in. Things that interest people, and off the top of my head comes Mergy Tobiatic Research Institute,
yes.
MTRI, and all those great programming that they do in the Caledonia area that are always so well received, nature-based type information that people love to hear. And if, you know, make the dots to them and invite them in, because they put on great, basically outdoor things. I'm thinking about how you can make communications with, like, Parks Canada, who have employees that are being paid right now, but they're not physically there, like they're interpreters that, again, come and do programming for basically free because they are being paid. But it's off-season, and they bring with them a wealth of knowledge and great children's programming activities. And so sometimes, you know, especially through winter months, those federal employees, especially through parks that are paid, but yet will come and do programming and things. So
we did talk about,
I think MRTI would be really interesting to have in because they do such interesting workshops, and I often look and think, oh, and then I'm thinking, oh, it's all the way to Kent. You know, but even if just bring one of those workshops in and it connects people, makes them aware of that great place out there too, which is amazing.
And we did, thank you, Councillor, that's a good idea. We did talk about the Northern District, and we've approached Tom Shepherd to talk about the history, but I think Councillor Fraley can disagree, but the schedule almost filled itself with ideas, and someone would say, oh, you should talk to so-and-so. So they went and talked to so-and, but it is absolutely our intention to be inclusive of, you know, of all areas of Queens, for sure.
Apropos of that, and I'm not sure whether this fits under Black History Month or blacksmithing, there's the Harper family in North Queens. They were blacksmiths, so make sure we don't, whether it's Linda or whether it's Tim McDonald doing it, they certainly have a place in our history. Yes, Councillor
McLeod. Organizing the activities and events in the facility, I know we use our own resources for promotion, getting the word out to the general public. It would be nice to have some kind of signage posted on site there. I mean, you've got those two signboards there, and I don't often see anything. I don't see posters or anything outside for the general people walking by to know what might be happening in there. So is that, if that's possible, or put it in your budget or whatever. I know there may be some considerations for some type of signage in the new budget coming, but I think for the interim there could be some way of promoting it through signage or something on the front lawn or in those posts that are just there. It says Astor Theatre Society on it.
Apropos of that, I noticed during the summer, particularly the Acadia Band Gallery put up, you know, a small tent on the outside, small sign tent, yep. And it always looked to me a bit, it was an understatement, and it looked a bit tacky. And I wondered then, and I'm glad you raised it now, if we couldn't have something better that does serve the whole building,
yes.
And so on.
Mm.
Yes, sir.
I don't know to what extent it's been explored by the board, but the manager at the Astor and I have had chats in the past about a wish for the Astor to have a signboard or even an electronic one. Yeah. So that might be something we could look at partnering with the theater on.
The chair of the board and I actually talked about that, and with Councillor Frelick, they've got all kinds of plans for screens inside the building. And once you're in there, like a rolling screen of events and activities. I think, Councillor McLeod, are you talking more like outdoor signage?
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, near where the Seussical poster or Seussical thing was for a long time. Yeah, I understood. And that would be the, by if we could do something practical there, that would be good visibility for all events in there.
Councillor Frelick?
There has been talk about electronic sign outside. The same visual would be on the inside. So. Chris has talked about a partnership with that. So, but the whole thing about getting people inside, the art on the lawn, and we're looking at, we partnered with Privateer Days, the gallery, Arts Council, to get a summer student. And hopefully they will work, you know, neck and neck with the summer ambassador. And they're talking about having a lot of visuals out on the lawn in the summertime, like art on the lawn, to get people in. That was the biggest complaint last year. For the gallery, because if you don't have constant events happening inside, there's nobody coming in to see the gallery. So by having a visual presence on the front lawn, so anything we can do, and those signs are available, they don't show on there, but for anybody that wants to print, put printed matter on there. So.
Okay, anything more on that particular item? If not, thanks a lot.
No. Not a good job.
John? That takes me to item 13 on the agenda, planning.
Nothing.
Do you have anything?
Nothing on the agenda. We are anticipating a meeting the first Monday of February if there's something on the agenda. And I would like to repeat that it is open to the public. Our meetings are open to the general public for planning. It's 7 o'clock, first Monday of every month.
Thank you. That brings us to item 14 on the agenda. Please come forward, Councillor Fancy. And 14.1, which is your quarterly report.
Steve,
good morning. Happy New Year, 2016. So just going to give you a brief update on the forecast and financials, and then just a few quick points off the report that I submitted for the third quarter. So from on the forecast side, from revenue, we're projected to be at $648,000 for year end. This is about $32,000 above the plan. And just one highlight of the revenue side, positive highlight on ice rentals have maintained some good strength, especially November, December. So we should be able to bring in the $230,000 forecast for ice, which is a very important one to that. And just to note, the weather has held through January pretty good. And last year January 2015, we did suffer a few cancellations. So anytime we don't have to have cancellations, that's a positive thing for the revenues. Under expenditures, we're looking to come in at $1.243 million at this point in time, and that's about $46,000 over budget. And just a couple of highlights on that. Under training and memberships, the overall training in the fall that we brought Simcoe Siemens and MCA in, approximately $7,000. Under equipment, under this line, we find a lot of a number of fitness equipment repairs. And just to note, the average piece of equipment in the fitness center has an average cost of about $6,200, and an average repair would be between $1,000 and $1,200. And then now the new challenge coming up is many of the parts that come for these come out of the United States, so exchange rates will affect that.
You said a piece of equipment costs $6,200.
The average piece of equipment in the fitness center is valued at $6,200.
But it costs $1,000 to repair a piece?
Yes.
So six repairs, and you're just repairing something that you're better off to buy new?
Like, remember what I said here. I'll clarify this. The average piece of equipment is $6,200. There's pieces in there that are $15,000 a piece. There's, you know, but the average repair for a piece of cardio or bikes is $1,000 to $1,200. There's effectively one company in Nova Scotia that services this equipment, Spartan. So we try to maintain, obviously, if they're going to be down in the South Shore, to cut travel costs,
right.
Certainly. Okay. Facility maintenance, we believe we're at the apex, the end of it. We should come in at that number or perhaps slightly less, so $118,000. Fuel costs, of course. The price of fuel has been down, so... You know, that has represented a saving there, and we've saved actually fuel consumption, which is an important number there, in liters, 13% less liters this year. So the projected deficit at this point, $594,000, approximately $13,700 above what the plan was as the year started.
Discussion? Questions of Steve?
I just have one question. I noticed that it says tomorrow is National Health and Fitness Day, and then you have information to access to be announced via cleanplace.ca and Facebook.
I'll go through that section now if you'd like.
Oh, I thought you
the additional finished. Piece of the report. So I just stopped at that.
Okay.
Forecast.
Oh.
And just another quick number. Although the financial statement wasn't presented today, we're 75% through the year and 82% of revenues. We're at 82% of budget of revenue and 78% of expense in actual. So just a few bullet points from, I guess, what would be a general facility recap. Under Fitness Center, a Thrive Access grant totaling $6,000 was received from the province. And they required certain products, for lack of a better term, products to be offered. As part of that, and the execution of that is done yearly by the Queen's Family Resource Center, so that is in progress. And as we budget for this coming year, you know, certainly the consideration of membership, product pricing, and access is going to be a large debate as we budget revenue for fitness. Under the different rooms, community room, board room, studio, etc., it's just to note, the payable hours this year have been 165 at the end of quarter three, and last year was approximately 163. The community room hours at no charge have been 247 this year, and were at the rate of 248 last year. And the boardroom payable hours are up about 20 hours from 101 to 121. finally, under events. So under events, we're ever so close to a major concert announcement, so stay tuned. It is in process, and we're just waiting for the final pieces on that. Tomorrow, at 1 p.m. our time, we will be participating in the National Health and Fitness Day webinar, and this is as a result of execution in the event of June 6, 2015. And this is an event that will take into account Prince George, British Columbia, Collingwood, Ontario, and Liverpool, Nova Scotia. So the information to access how to join the webinar, which is basically a listening webinar, can be found on the queensplace.ca homepage. There's an event under events right on the homepage. and it's on our Facebook site. And so please take the opportunity to dial in. We're going to do a presentation.
Steve, when you say, so it's interactive, like not interactive from the viewer, but you are participating in this webinar from Queen's Place point of view?
Yes, I'm participating in the webinar.
And that actual day, the actual National Health Day is sometime in June, is that correct?
The, last year was June 6th, this year will be June 4th.
Okay. Is it available to the general public to?
Yes, it is, absolutely. Cross Canada event. On Friday, February 12th, Dave Dobbs and Phil Harding are coming in, and tickets are available at the information desk. There's approximately 20 tickets left. So let's get them scooped up. And on March the 18th, we'll announce the details shortly, but Jamie Cotter and the Country Outlaws will be performing at the community room. And then a real family show, the Country Kids, who have been to the tribute and around the area, are coming from the valley, and they're going to perform on Friday, April the 22nd. So those are just a few quick updates.
Okay, other questions? Councilor Frelick.
Steve, you had mentioned the Thrive grant, and can you tell me how that's executed and how? What we actually get from that? I know it's run by another organization, but tie back to Queen's Place.
Well, that's a grant offered by Health and Wellness and done through Debbie Smith. Yeah. And what Debbie does is request particular products from the facility to increase health and wellness access for individuals.
What do you mean by products?
Well, it could be three-month membership, a one-month membership. It could be skate passes, walk passes, those types of things. So it's a facility access grant. And then it goes to Queen's Resource Center to execute. So we do the certificates up. They execute the distribution.
Yeah. So Thrive is to get
active.
Just everybody active? Or was it
to give people an opportunity to get active. And that's why
nothing to do with financial. Financial, is it for people that normally wouldn't be able to afford to go into Queen's Place?
Normally, yes.
Okay. Because I've heard some comments that the way they were handed out last year may not have been in keeping with what that grant's for. So.
Year to year, it's always certainly a challenge for them at the resource center to identify and ensure that. It's executed to a T, that I would say, but they are responsible for executing it.
Councilor Fancy.
Steve, a couple of things, of course, that stand out to me right away is that our community room hours, you know, as we rent out 165 and we give away 247, you know, that the numbers just don't, you know, something, as I know you're looking into, how can you better look at that, because it just doesn't work that way, because mm-hmm. You're going to go in the hole doing things like that. But the one thing, the winter activities, which are going on, so we see we're having more snow the last couple of years than what we've had. See the tobogganing hill being used all the time. I see others like Rod Kierstead and Dave Lewis, these folks who are avid skiers, you expect to use that. It's going to be more of a outdoor activities I see starting to develop over there, which is a good thing. And
you're correct, and even on even just recently with snow on the ground, there's some kids over playing basketball. As long as the pavement's dry, they'll still get out and do it. So, yeah.
Any other questions of Steve on this agenda item? If not, then agenda 14.2, and there is a recommendation there. If somebody wishes to make it. Councillor Fancy.
I so recommend that the Region of the Queen's Municipality initiate a project to review the original strategic objectives of Queen's Place Amira Centre and develop an updated strategic plan for the facility.
Seconded by Councillor McLeod. I was wondering.
So Steve and I worked on this report together. He drafted most of it. We've heard since I've started in the summer and then in recent months, questions and comments around things we should do with Queen's Place. I've received probably 3 written submissions, and we heard you know some good ideas from the public today. So as we were talking about some of these things, I would ask Steve, well, what's our objective at Queen's Place? What are we supposed to be achieving there? And Norm helped us pull out some of the original documents from the 2000s as the community envisioned and planned the facility, and some of that information is in this report. So we feel that it's time to go back to the community, listen to what the objectives are for the Queen's Place first, then bring that back to council, and then when we're clear on what the objectives are, go back to the community and talk about some of the different tactics and ways we can approach things. Because we have choices in tactics we can do. You know, if it's just about raising revenue, we could do one thing. If it's more about inclusion. So we think we need to have some discussions and...
Could you speak up?
Sure.
Sorry.
There you go. So our approach is that we'll go to the community, have a discussion around what the objectives are with the facility, bring that back to council, and then have another public engagement around some of the different tactics to achieve those objectives, and then talk about how we implement and the governance structure. We have a standing committee right now. We may need to tweak the terms of reference, but we'll see through that engagement. I don't know if Steve wants to add some more in the report. We gave some information that would be the first time that's around. There's a couple tables on utilization. Each month Steve gives peer data, and he turned that into utility, which is interesting. At decision point, we also gave a comparison of some of the pre-construction budget and the current year projections, and see where some of the changes are there. Noting that, you know, and I was surprised actually, even removing the concert, we're quite well above our projection in terms of revenues. We've missed some major things in the original expense side, particularly around utilities and maintenance. Something was missed in the originals, but there we go.
Okay, discussion. Comment. Councilman Platt.
Richard, when you say that there'll be staff or whatever will be reviewing the objectives and then going public and getting input from the public, what format are you doing the public engagement?
So we're going to be meeting with some potential facilitators to discuss that, should council approve this. But I would envision us having public sessions at the community room at Queen's Place, set up at different tables, asking the appropriate questions, and encouraging some discussion, and then we will consolidate that to bring back to council.
Deputy Mayor Norman.
When you said staff will, two questions. Who's leading this whole strategic plan? And you also said staff will discuss with some facilitators. So are we, and I guess maybe I'm going to answer my own question, are we bringing in an outside facilitator to do this, or how? I don't understand how this is going to roll out.
Sure.
Is it from us, or how is it?
Steve is leading this strategic review. He's project manager for this. public facilitation, we're meeting with an individual this afternoon to discuss this, to help us with the facilitation in 2 public meetings that we foresee here.
I guess I do have a follow-up comment. And this strategic review is large and it's important, and it takes a lot of time. And I guess I'm wondering, our manager is busy, and I'm just wondering how we can fit this other very big busy piece of time into a schedule that is so busy.
This is a priority. I'll be spending time on this as well with Steve. He'll be the lead. I'd say this is a priority that we need to knock on the head over the next several months and get clarity on this and move forward. If we need additional resources, we will get them.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? I assume there's a motion on the floor, Deputy Mayor?
Yes, there is.
It is.
Are you ready for the question on the motion?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous, thank you. And that brings us to the next item, 14.3, which is here for information only. Steve, do you want to comment, or do you want me to comment? Or
you go ahead and comment.
We had a meeting with the, and it was alluded to when Mr. Robertson got up and asked us questions. We had a meeting with the Aquatic Society and what's it, J49? What's the name of the company?
Architecture 49.
Presented their report. You've got the information here. We ended the meeting by saying to the Aquatic Society, have a look at it, go back, pick it apart. There are some possible savings as they looked at the numbers. Can you use part of the rooms that are currently in Queen's Place to provide some of the things that they would need for a swimming area? Can they shave costs? However, the ball is in their court. They have gone away with the numbers. The thought is that we will get together. Richard said to me this morning, in 2 weeks, I may not be there quite that quickly, but with them to hear their reaction to the report and how they wish to proceed. And then following that, we will continue. Councillors, the three middle councillors were there, Mrs. Frelick, McLeod, and Fancy. If you have any comments beyond that, I thought that it was a good meeting. I thought it ended up, I talked to most of the aquatic group individually, and they were by and large satisfied with the information they had received and the progress that we had made.
It was interesting when we all gathered around the table and the presentation was made by the architects to have the input from the people attending and other thoughts and ideas that some people hadn't even thought of when they made their initial presentation. So it was really good to have that input from everybody in the room.
I just wanted to say that it was a very good meeting, and I think it was appreciated by everybody, staff and the pool committee, that all ideas were heard and no one left feeling that they were pushed in a corner or not listened to. It was very well appreciated, and I thank you for that.
That's a fancy.
Yeah. And the one thing I really liked about it is that everything was brought together, and things like the rooms and things that were maybe missed on the initial diagrams, that's all put there. Then it's one time we're all together and we all have the same sense of how much it's going to cost. Because when somebody's making a presentation and somebody's going from a different direction, you don't always get the same numbers. But now we've got all the same numbers. We know what to work with. It's up to them now to look at and say, hey, how can we make this work?
I didn't know anything about this until I read this in the packet. And I understand that the three councillors are on the Queen's Place Pool Committee, the Queen's Place Committee, but this pool is a much bigger deal than Queen's Place, and I would like to be notified, and I think all of council probably should have been notified of that meeting.
I was notified.
Were you notified?
Yes.
Okay. I apologize for that. I missed that. Did it clearly state what it was? That it was a meeting to discuss this specific thing? Sorry about that. I withdraw.
I believe a reminder was sent out
also. Councilor English.
Thank you for withdrawing your comments. I really believe that we, over time, we've grown to a society that complains and waits for government to do something.
And this really, you know, this group has come forward, and that's, I hope, the wave of the future. So I'm really pleased to hear the account from the mayor and from the sitting members that it was a productive thing rather than a rebuttal to their proposal, that it was an information session, and now everybody can regroup and see where they're going forward. But really pleased to hear from all of you that that nobody went away dissatisfied or feeling that it was adversarial. That's.
I think there are two points that I would like to make. The first is the numbers are bigger than anybody had thought of. And they may stay bigger. And they may not be, and they may be too big to be accomplished. And I don't want to sound negative, but I did overhear a conversation in the parking lot by some of the Aquatic Society people worrying about the fact that the number is $8 million. Can they achieve that? And the second point, there is universal acceptance that there has to be an endowment fund to support the deficit. And everybody accepts that. We have to define the deficit. That work hasn't been done. That has to be done through the business plan and so on. So that work still has to be done. So from the public's perception, this is not going to be building on the deficit of Queen's Place. There is that cushion, that the endowment fund, and the Aquatic Society has been quite forthright. They will raise that money, and if they can't raise it, they don't want the project to go ahead. So we're all on the same wavelength on that. We still have to work on the total numbers, and whether they come down below 8 million, I rather suspect they will, but that's work that has to be done too. Okay, any more points on that, all of that? If not, thank you all very much. Thank you, Steve. There are two reports, 15-1, 15-2. Does anybody have any comments on those reports?
I like that big Iowa house, or the commercial stuff that we've been doing. Not this much.
Sure, the finance staff does too.
Yeah.
Okay, if not, I will then pass the chair to the Deputy Mayor, and I would like to give a report from the Nominating Committee.
Yes, Deputy Mayor.
I would move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality nominate Doug Adams to continue as our representative on the Western Regional Housing Authority Board.
Seconded by Councillor Waterman. Are there any questions?
I have a couple of points I'd make on that, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
One, we understand he's the chair of that board, and the second is that during the nominating committee's discussion, we thought it would be a good idea to invite him to council to make a presentation.
All those in favor?
I would move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality nominate Councillor Fisk to the southwestern, to the south, it must be south.
North.
Southwest
Nova.
Southwest.
Yes. To the Southwest Nova Biosphere Reserve Board.
Seconded by Councillor Frolic. Questions?
Question.
All those in favor? Signify.
And I would move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality nominate Councillors Fisk, McLeod, Frelick, and Mayor Clark to the RCMP Ad Hoc Committee.
Seconded by Councillor Waterman. Are there any questions regarding this? It should be noted that it was also brought up in the nominating committee that should the Ad Hoc Committee wish to bring in outside advisors, such as people from the judicial system, they may do so. Okay, all those in favor? Contrary? Passed.
Thank you.
We put a real law and order committee together there. That,
yeah.
They crack down on crime.
Sheriff and his posse.
Okay, that concludes the open part of the agenda. I would entertain a motion from Council to go in camera.
Okay.
Council Frelick, Council Waterman seconding, all in favor of being in camera. We're in camera, October 17-1.
Let's do it.
Okay, Council Fancy, Council Fisk, moving and seconding. All in favor of being out of camera, back in public meeting, we're back. I'd entertain a motion for Jack or Raymond, okay.
I submit that the council leads the Queen's municipality direct staff to develop a lease agreement with the proponent of the unsolicited proposal as per the private and confidence report of January 26, 2016. Bring back the council for consideration.
Council Fancy seconding. Discussion.
Question.
All in favor. It's unanimous. And thank you all. Hey, I think we did a good day's work.
Did anyone go to eat?